Lord.
Previously in A Fond Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, David instructed a solicitor to start divorce proceedings, but his letter to Gloria came back returned to sender. Unable to talk this over with Pippa, David met up with her daughter and husband the next day.
William broke the silence with,
"When we get nearer the barracks, we'll change places."
"Why? I like being driven by you."
"If anyone sees us, we've been on official business with you driving me as usual. Which, of course, is true. We have been on official business. Well, at least I have."
"No one is likely to see us at this time of night. And the official business was yesterday. Weren't you expected back last night?"
"No, no. I said I'd stay overnight with a friend, and I was due a day's leave anyway."
"Was that meeting anything to do with your regiment going overseas?"
"Why do you ask that?"
"Oh, you know how rumours go around all the time. Are you being sent overseas?"
"You know I can't answer that."
"Oh, sorry. I hate all this hush-hush stuff."
"You know perfectly well why it's necessary."
"All this secrecy makes conversation a bit difficult. We can't talk about your work. You know everything there is to know about mine. And you don't tell me anything about your private life."
"Why does that matter to you?"
"I told you, William. I'm in love with you. I want to know everything about you."
"I've told you all you need to know. I'm married with two children, and I'm not going to talk about my marriage unlike you."
"That's because yours must be happy." She waited for an answer, but when none came, she broke the silence with, "Well then, tell me about your children. Two boys, two girls?"
"One of each."
He dipped his headlights as another car approached.
"Idiot!"
he shouted as the other driver failed to return the courtesy. "Okay. Well, what are their names?"
"Robert and Julie. Now, can we leave my marriage out of this?"
But she was not to be discouraged. "What are their ages?"
7 and 5. "And Robert is the elder. So, Miss Nosy Parker, why did you not have any children, At least I'm assuming you haven't, or you'd have told me, since you like talking about personal things so much."
There was an unseen shrug. "I never wanted any."
"Or couldn't have any. Is it you or your husband who's infertile?"
Gloria knew the remark was deliberately provocative and close to insulting, so she had to bite her tongue before answering. How could she accuse him of prying into someone else's personal life when that was exactly what he resented her doing? She decided it was better to ignore the jibe, but keep the conversation on a personal level, hoping it might become reciprocal and she could learn more about him. "We never had any tests, and I was always careful about what time of the month we had sex. And it worked."
"I hope you were as careful last night."
"Now I have him wondering. One up to me. I'll keep him on the hook a bit longer." "Oh, gosh! I never even thought about that. But it doesn't matter when you're really in love." He couldn't see the broad grin when she added, "What would you do if you've made me pregnant?"
"Deny it was mine, of course. You've been seen with plenty of other servicemen."
"Maybe in the canteen or the rec room. I've never been caught in flagrante delicto."
"Ah, so you admit you could have been."
"No, I don't. What I'm saying is, without a necessary witness, you couldn't prove a thing."
"And, as I said, neither could you. I'd have thought you knew that, having worked with solicitors for how long?"
3 years. And you'd be amazed what a friendly judge can do for an innocent girl led astray by an older man.
Innocent? Ha!
He barked. She decided the conversation was becoming too serious and confrontational. You know I'm only kidding. She giggled as girlishly as she could, sliding down in her seat. But the talk of children had made her uncomfortable as her memory slid back to an 18-year-old girl who had got herself pregnant with her first real boyfriend. Gloria didn't dare tell her parents, especially her mother, who had warned her at an early age about how unmarried girls who got pregnant were always the ones who suffered, either as a single mother despised by all, or left with a broken heart by having to give away a baby they couldn't afford to raise. She had only just left school and was looking for a job, and she was panicking. What should she do? She turned to the one girl who had remained a friend. Catherine was the only one who had continued to invite her home and didn't question why her invitations were never returned. A quiet girl herself, she found Gloria quite exciting with her wild ideas and wicked sense of humour, telling stories Catherine would never dare to repeat at home. They met in a cafe in Byers Road. And it was clear immediately that Gloria was in an unusually serious mood. They ordered milkshakes, and after a few banal pleasantries, Gloria imparted her astonishing news. Astonishing, that is, to her innocent friend, who was aghast, completely lost for words and unable to answer for a few moments. But when she tore her eyes away from staring into her drink, she looked up at Gloria and saw something she had never seen in her before. Tears trickling down her beautiful face. At last she found her voice.
What will you do?
She asked lamely. That's what I want to talk to you about. I can't keep it, she started. And Catherine passed a pretty embroidered hanky to her friend. Dabbing her eyes, Gloria continued. My parents would disown me, and my life would be ruined if I kept it.
Oh, have you told your boyfriend? Douglas, isn't it? I want to marry you right away, and you'll just become a happy little family.
Gloria's expression changed to disbelief. Pushing the hanky back into Catherine's hand, she said, I don't want to marry Douglas. I don't want to marry anyone. I haven't even lived yet. I've no choice. I have to get rid of it, Catherine. Turning her head from side to side, she said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. You're not the kind of girl who would know how to help me with a thing like this. A little hurt, Catherine replied,
I read a novel where this happened, and the girl used a knitting needle, and the baby came away.
Smiling, Gloria plonked her hand on top of Catherine's.
You're right, of course. Why didn't I think of that? It's the oldest remedy in the book.
Becoming conspiratorial. My parents are going off to Rothsay next Friday for the weekend. We'll do it then.
We?
I can't do it alone. You don't have to do anything. Just be with me for moral support.
Oh, I see. That's all right then. I don't mind. Should I stay overnight? In case you don't feel well after...
You know, you'll stay the whole weekend. We'll live it up on Friday. I've heard that too much gin can cause an abortion. We've got several bottles in the cellar. Wine too. We'll invite our boyfriends round and dance and sing. But not a word about what we're going to do on Saturday.
What did they ask us out on Saturday? That's usually when Ian and I go out.
We'll become very mysterious and say we can't tell them what we're going to do on Saturday.
They might think we've got other boyfriends.
So much the better. A bit of jealousy is a good thing. Both girls went into a fit of giggles, as though they were planning a silly hoax. Then, calming down, they stared at each other in silence, broken by...
What time will I come on Friday?
6:30. Bring fish and chips for us, and we'll invite the boys for 8 o'clock.
Thank you.